be led by a fire.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. To find out more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas, visit www.themissiondelray.com.
Come on, sing it again.
Oh, I wanna be a couple real quick things. Mission FAU, we're getting so many prophetic confirmations on what God wants to do on the campus. We know there's other campus ministries on FAU, so it's not like, you know, it's the heathen dark land and we're going to go there and, you know. But at the same point, we believe there's something God wants us to do there. And God has confirmed it time and again. He's birthing visions in people's hearts about what's going to happen on that campus. And we know there's something that happens in young people's lives. How do I say this? The average church youth ministry is like they spoon feed kids, you know, and there's like games and there's, you know, all this stuff that happens as if teenagers, you know, can't do anything other than, you know, if you don't entertain them every 15 seconds, you know, they'll fall off. And so they don't get too deep theologically. And the message week after week after week is, you know, be good. You'll make God sad if you're not good, you know, as if God's emotions are resting on the actions of a 14-year-old, you know? And be good, be good. Don't be bad. Come up here and feel bad about being bad, you know, be good. And if you do anything that's bad, then you're going to fall away to the devil and he's going to consume your life. And we believe in holiness. But the problem is kids leave youth group, they go to college, and they start messing up a little bit and they find out, hey, I'm not in the pit of hell right now. What do you know? What else was wrong that they told me in youth group? So they start casting off, you know, the good with the bad. And then actually the enemy does come and consume. That's just what happens. And there's just so many people who wind up at college who grew up with a knowledge of Christ, but without a real adult relationship, haven't got any real theological understanding of salvation, don't have a theological understanding of what Christ did on the cross and what that allows you to do. And they don't have a real theological understanding of why we reject sin. It's not because God's mad at me. It's better for me, you know, for there's destiny. And there's so many kids who walk under the grace of a church, walk under the grace of a youth group, walk under the grace of a pastor, and they kind of play back and forth as kids. You know, and they just kind of expect that's Christianity. But once you become an adult, God starts treating you like an adult. How many know what I'm talking about? You start slipping, but it's not as easy to come back. For those of you who didn't grow up in church, you don't know what I'm talking about. But the average youth, you know, most teenagers are bipolar. Anybody who's raised kids knows what I'm talking about. They're just bipolar, you know. It is what it is, you know. One week they're absolutely on fire for Jesus. The next week you don't know if they're saved, you know. Just sometimes it's the same week, you know? It's like, what time is it? Okay, 3 hours ago, you're an apostle. Today, you're an apostate, you know? It's, you know, and there's a certain grace for that when you're a kid and you're underneath this covering and they leave the covering and they go out and they think they can do the same thing at 18, 19, 20 that they did at 11, 12, 13 and they find themselves separated from God, you know, and without a real understanding of how to get back. Because they already feel bad, and youth group only told them you have to feel bad. Well, they already feel bad, and guess what? That ain't working. And so we just believe that there's a harvest. There's a harvest of lost young ones that Jesus wants to recover at FAU. And we're going to go get them. Amen? Jesus died on the cross for them. We're going to go get them. And we're going all out in this thing at FAU where if you got friends, you know, some of you don't, but if you do have friends, bring them. If you know any people who are college age, especially if you know people who go to FAU or Palm Beach State, you got to get them to come out. We're going to have invitations next week you can bring. We got flyers we made up just for it, and we're just going to blanket. FAU group, the Mission FAU, they're going to be fasting, doing prayer walks. We just want to see a good turnout. We want to see that campus get touched for Jesus. Amen. I mean, we just want to see it touched for Jesus. We want revival. We're not going there to have, you know, it's not for hookup, you know. It's not, you know, there's so many, gosh, games and hookups. That's all it's about, and that's just not what we want to see revival on campus. It's revival, just flat out revival. And, you know, that's what we're down for. And so come on out to that. That's next week, not this week, next week, but you'll be hearing more about it because it's a big deal. It's part of what we believe God has called us as a house to do. And so we're really going to pour into it. Also, hey, Courtney, you're having your baby shower at Pompey Park? And we had revival at Pompey Park. Who was there? We had revival at Pompey Park. They didn't know what was going on up in there. It was something else. They didn't know what was going on. Hold on, my computer's giving me issues. Revival. I mean, it's already anointed, so it ought to be good. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm going to talk for a second. We're finishing up our vision series today. If you're visiting us, you're catching the tail end, but don't worry, you know, it's going to be good regardless. We've talked about that God has a vision for your life, that God did not create you by accident. You didn't come here by surprise. You know, he's got a plan, and it's a good plan that he wants you to fulfill. It's for his glory. It's for your benefit. It's really worth you doing. And today, as we finish up this series, I believe God is going to touch some people in a significant way. And I think God is going to equip some people in this house today to re-engage their call. Amen? Habakkuk chapter 2, page 785, if you have the right Bible. It's still after Nahum, you know, if you don't. Habakkuk chapter 2, if you're there, let me hear you say yeah. Praise God. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you today. Lord, I just pray right now. Lord, you know I'm just a man. I'm just a guy with a microphone that you have spoken to. Lord, I pray that I can convey the message you've given to me with clarity. Lord, I pray that you would overshadow me like you did Mary when you impregnated her. You've given me this word on the inside that's been growing, Father. I pray that you would overshadow me by your Spirit. I pray that your word would come forth and that life would come forth today. Life would come forth today. Life would come forth today. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. I read the Bible, and I've said this throughout this series. I read the Bible, and I get so inspired by the men and women of God who've done great things for God. I get so inspired, and I feel so challenged of what they accomplished. I don't feel like I'm unlucky because I didn't live in Bible days. I don't feel unlucky that I didn't live in the days that Jesus walked the earth. I don't feel unlucky that I wasn't like Moses in that glorious tabernacle that he had built. I don't feel unlucky that I'm not Adam walking in the garden. I don't feel unlucky that I'm not John who got caught up into the third heaven. I don't feel unlucky because the Bible says that greater works shall I do. And I believe, like I said before, that we live in a greater day than the days of Ezekiel. I believe we live in a greater day than the days of Elijah. We live in a greater day than the days of Abraham and Isaac and our fathers of faith. I believe we live in a greater day because we're in the day of the Holy Ghost. I believe we're living a greater day. But yet and still, I see that what they saw, I don't see in my life. And that challenges me. And I look at the men and women of the Bible, and I try to examine their lives, and I try to see what their influences were, and I try to see what their outlook was, and I try to see how God communed with them. Because we talked about if we want a certain thing, there's steps to obtaining it. You know, we talked about vision determines decisions. Decisions dictate outcomes. And I look at the vision that these men and women of God had, and I look at the decisions that they made because I want the outcome they had. I want the relationship that they had. I want the miracles that they had. I want the reward that they got. I want the reward that they got. I'm not jealous of their reward. I don't want their reward, but I want the same reward. I want well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words I long to hear. I mean, I love it in my quiet times and when I'm praying and God begins to speak to me And he calls me son. I love that. I love his the touch of the Holy Spirit when he comes in the room. I love when Jesus comes in authority and his mantle comes upon me and the mantle of the Holy Ghost, and he empowers me for ministry. I love that. I love when the Father speaks those caressing words and you can feel the warmth of his love come upon you. I love that. I live for it. It's what gets me going through the day. But my whole life is dictated toward that day, at that moment when I come before the throne, when my life has passed over and they draw a line underneath it, and then nothing I can do will ever be earned in righteousness again. I can't put any other treasures in heaven. I can't go back and redo anything. At that moment, it's all over. I stand before, they open up the book of life, and then they make a declaration. I live for that moment. What I want to hear at that moment is, "Well done, good and faithful. Enter into your rest." I live for the moment that Jesus says, "I've examined your whole life, son. I've looked at it all, and like the word says, I've judged every idle word. Well done, good and faithful son." You know, believe it or not, like it or not, love it or not, live for it or not, whether or not you want to believe what the preacher here is saying, whether or not you want to come into agreement with what the Bible says, regardless of what you believe, at one day we will all be judged. We'll all be judged. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ Jesus is Lord. I tell you what, you don't want that to be the first time you did it. That'd be a wrong time for that to be the day you decide to bend your knee and bow your heart. That'd be the wrong day that you make a decision. Oh, you know what? He is worthy to be worshipped. It's a little late at that point. At that point, you can no longer store up treasures in heaven. At that point, you can no longer have sins washed away. At that point, I recognize that I picked the wrong team. and I'm not on the winning team now. That's bad news. But even beyond that, I'm not looking to slide into heaven. So many times I have people come to me and they say, "Pastor, how much sin can I do and still go to heaven?" I'm like, that's a bizarre question to ask. It's just an absolutely bizarre question to ask. Go to your wife and say, "Honey, how many women can I cheat on you with before you leave me? I just want to know, because I know most women are forgiving the first time. You know, you can make up the second time. It's very iffy. You know, how many times, honey? Just how many women before you decide that we're no longer? I just want to know, because where are you going? Why are you packing? I don't understand. Oh, that's my stuff you're packing. What's happening, you know? Put the matches down, baby. What's going on?" It's a bizarre question. It's a bizarre question. But yet and still, people live their whole Christianity with that mindset. They get this thing that I went to the altar one day and I got stamped with the Jesus stamp and I put the Jesus fish on my car and now we're all good. Some people need like that James Bond Jesus fish, you know, for when they like drive like a Christian, it can be showing, you know. When they're not, it can flip under, you know? It can be an undercover brother, you know what I'm saying? Just, I mean, they're still a brother in Christ. They're just undercover at that moment because they're driving like the devil. You know what I mean? They're just, glory to God. But they live this way. Okay, I know I'm a Christian. I'm forgiven. My name's written in the book. And I'm, you know, I'm going to make it. And Maybe that is true. Maybe you, in your, you know, Jesus lives in my heart. Well, he needs to live in your, you know, wallet. He needs to live in your Saturday night going out. You know, he needs to live in your mouth because he ain't living there clearly. He needs to live in your closet because I look at the clothes and ain't none. I mean, he didn't. But let's say you are saved and you're just looking to slide into heaven. Maybe that's your goal. And can you make it that way? Can you just, you know, give God some lip service and, he, you know, you love him in your heart, but you don't show it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I look at the Bible and I say, you know, he's going to judge the heart. That's a hard one. I don't know, to be honest with you. If you're a once saved, always saved kind of person, if you know you go, you went to an altar in youth group and you can live like a devil the rest of your life and still get into heaven, I don't know. I'm not going to say you can't, but I don't know. I know that God has called me to be a preacher of righteousness. I know the Bible tells me that I'm going to call all men to repentance. I know that the Bible says that greater works we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be growing in our relationship with Jesus. I know that we're supposed to be growing in our ministry. I know that we're supposed to be bearing more fruit. And if you're here today and you're away from God and you grew up, you know, in church and today you're away from God, I'm like, praise God. I'm glad you're here. I believe God has more for you. We're not expecting anything out of you. You know, God has a wonderful plan for your life. But at the same point, I'm here to tell you today it's time to step up. It's time to step up. It's time to take your relationship to the next level. We come into the vision that God has for us, and we make this mistake that we say, as soon as I get saved, as soon as I come to the altar, God's in control, and now everything's good. Now I'm on easy street. Now it's just me and God, and everything I did in the past is in the past, and the future is going to be so great, and I even gave God $4 in the offering, so I know I'm going to get rich, and it's all going to be good now. Did you guys hear? I'm called to be an apostle. Did you hear? I'm going to be the great evangelist and preaching to 10,000 people in stadiums, and I don't know if you recognize who I am, but I've given my life to Christ now. Watch out, world. Here I come. I believe in the God of prosperity, but I believe in the God who said there's seven feasts, but there is one day of fasting. I believe that there's a coming out of the old and a coming into the new. There's a price that's paid for coming into the goodness of God. There's a price that has to be paid in your life. You want to be part of the end time revival? I believe God wants you to be a part of it. If you just want to be saved and slide into heaven, I can't coach you in that. But if you want to walk in the anointing, it's going to cost you a little something. If you want to walk in victory in every area of your life, it's going to cost you a little something. If you want to live in a place of peace and harmony with God, if you want to live a life feeling in your heart of hearts that you are right with God for the first time in your life, for any sustained amount of time, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, and there's no way around that. In Acts chapter 9, we see this incredible moment. And there's the man named Saul who had been a persecutor of the church. And he had killed Christians, and he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do. And in that miraculous moment, Jesus came and knocked him off his horse and blinded him. And just, I mean, Paul didn't do nothing to deserve it. But Jesus said, you know, I'm God, and you're going to be saved now. Paul's on the ground. He's like, who are you, Lord? At that moment, he's saved. He confessed Christ Jesus. He's right with God. But a funny thing happened. God struck him with blindness. And we don't preach about that part as much. And he's blind and he gets taken to someone's house. And God goes to a man and says, Ananias, you know that dude Saul? He's like, yeah, I know him. He ain't no good. And the Lord's like, yeah, you're going to go minister to him. He's like, what you talking about? You're crazy. And then he goes to tell God, I don't know if you heard about this, Lord, but he's not nice. He's killing Christians, and I'm a Christian, and I don't want to be killed. And God's like, check this out. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. The Lord said to Ananias, he said, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry out my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Some of you are like, hallelujah, that's me. I'm a chosen instrument of God. I'm going to preach the gospel around the world. I am the anointed and appointed and equipped. I'm God's man for the hour. Let's move on to verse 16. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. We got a church full of Acts 9:15 Christians with no Acts 9:16 Christians. The church is filled with folks ready to receive God's all as long as it's good and they like it. Lord, send me anything you got that I like. Anything you got that makes me feel good. I'm down, Lord. I'm your man right now. Come on, I'm ready, Jesus. I you know, if you have to, if it's your will, you can put me in front of thousands of people. If you want to, Jesus, you can give me gifts of miracles and healing. You can make me the guy who raises the dead, Lord. If it's your will, I'll go ahead and be that person. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. I can tell when someone got a real call from God. Here's how I can tell. People say to me, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. I'm like, uh-huh. What else did he say? That's it. I'm going to be the greatest ever. I'm like, wow, that's wonderful. Why don't you go ahead and pray on that one? Why don't you just hear the rest of that story? People come to me, and they say, Pastor, the Lord said, I'm going to go do this, and that kind of scares me. I don't really want to do that necessarily. I don't know how that's going to happen. And please don't tell anybody I said that. Okay, here's somebody who heard God. Encounter the cost. You see, Paul knew what it was like to be the man in charge, the head of everything, the one everybody's talking about, the guy who was the most zealous. And God said, guess what? That's going to be you. That's going to be you, Paul. However, there's a cost. However, you're going to have to suffer for my name. Moses lived 40 years in the Pharaoh's house. 40 years learning the ways of the world. God had to take him out of that to be the deliverer. How long? 40 years. 40 years he labored in the desert with his people, tending and just being the man who used to be the guy in charge of everything because his family owned everything. Yet God brought him out. And when he entered into his calling, he had the head witches doing spells against him. Come on. He had the greatest army on the planet trying to kill him. And he said yes to God. And because he said yes to God, we're talking about him today. I wonder how many men and women the Lord visited in the midnight hour. I sometimes think when Jesus was walking the earth and he went around picking his disciples, how many men did he say, follow me, and they stayed there tending their nets? How many other people could have been in that honor roll of faith in Hebrews 11 and 12? How many people could have had these wonderful, glorious testimonies? Yet they were busy. Ah, Lord, you know, what are they going to say about me? Ah, Lord, my family is waiting for me. You know, I would go, but you know, I'm in school right now, Jesus. I'll be done in 4 years, Lord. I'll meet up with you then. How many of you know that was too late? He was already in glory 4 years from then. It's too late. And you can't get that moment back. Paul was just, I love the apostles. I love them all. I mean, I so love them because of their commitment, because of how they just laid down everything. And some of them didn't have anything to lay down, but they laid it down and they still went after persecution, they knowing that they would be murdered, knowing that they would be beaten, knowing that they would be gossiped about, knowing that the world would turn on them, yet they said, you know what? I'm following Jesus anyways. I mean, if you're wealthy to follow Jesus, you have something to lay down. But if you're poor, you're probably poor for a reason, and that's why you're going to have to lay that down also. They say, I'm all in sin and I'm broke. I got nothing to lose. Yeah, no, you got whatever the reason is that you're broke and addicted to sin. You're going to have to deal with that. This is the root of drug addiction. Drug addiction comes. Here's what most folks don't understand about addiction. People are not addicted because they love the sin. Most people. Some people just love sin because they have a demon. But most people, there's a fear that they're avoiding because it's painful. And they live bound by this fear. And the moment they touch the false comforter, the addiction, the drug is a false comforter, then they don't feel the fear. The problem is you have to sell your soul to not deal with that fear. So instead of having the fear, you have addiction. Does that make sense? And so because the lying spirit of addiction says, if you leave me, I'm going to bring that fear back. Now they're bound to the addiction. Now Jesus comes and he deals with the fear. And now you don't need the addiction or something to deal with the fear because he's dealt with it already. Does that make sense? And so many people, you know, we have 12-step programs, which I bless the Lord for because they work for so many people, but they teach you to have self-control over the fear. You're not going to deal with the fear this way. Here's how you're going to deal with the fear. I'm always an addict. I'll be an addict the rest of my life because that fear is there. But what if the fear is not there anymore? What if the pain's gone? How many people were addicted to sin and aren't anymore? I mean that's good news. That's good news, but it's a false comforter. It's a lie. But the average person don't want to deal with that fear. I just need a substitute drug and then I can just go on with my life. And Jesus will be that substitute drug for so long, but at some point the Holy Ghost is going to say, "Guess what? You got to wake up and start dealing with some stuff." How many years are you going to confess over your life, "My name is Billy Bob and I'm an alcoholic"? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, my God heals. But I've been an alcoholic for 15 years. Really? You think you might want to deal with that? No. I was born that way. Really? God is creating alcoholics now, is he? Now listen, if you're in a 12-step program and you're staying, I mean, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Don't get me wrong here. Have no condemnation over your life at all. I mean, hear what I'm telling you. If you're in any kind of recovery group, stay there. Here's what I tell people all the time. I believe God heals. I believe that he can heal any sickness, any infirmity, any malady, anything that's wrong with your body, God can heal. My son is on allergy medication. You hear what I'm saying? And until he gets healed of that, he's going to be on the allergy medication. You know what I mean? There's balance and wisdom in this thing. You know, I hear people who have these healing faith things and their kids die because they don't get medication. I'm like, you're stupid and should be in jail. You all right? You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, if you got to go, if that's what's getting you clean, I'd rather you be clean in a 12-step program than believing God for deliverance in the gutter. You know what I'm saying? Just do what it takes to get clean, just because God don't want you to live that way. You know, the law is for the lawless, and if you need the law, let the law keep you clean. It's better to live under grace, but I'd rather you be clean under the law than free in sin. All right, so I don't want to put out any condemnation there. But at the same point, too much of our Christianity is based on these lies. It's just based on lies. It's based on, you know what it is? Laziness. Just flat out laziness. I don't want to deal with nothing. I don't want to come under. I don't want to come under authority. I'm just going to go there. What time is it? There are pastors and there are churches that are unhealthy. You can only use that as an excuse for so long, though. You can only use that as an excuse for so. Well, I was in a church one time and I submitted to authority and they didn't treat me right, so I'm not going to be under authority. Oh, so you're going to just multiply sin because of that person's sin. That's wonderful. I'm sure God's loving that. Well, you know, Pastor, my wife yelled at me one time, so I'm just not going to be faithful to her anymore. What? What? Now, y'all who are young in the Lord, who got saved at the mission, which is a large number of the people here, guess what? I'm going to do stuff that you really don't like. Some of it's going to be God. Some of it's going to be me. Can I just be honest? You know why? Because I'm a man. The Christ that's inside of me is perfect. The Christ coming out of me may not be. You know what I mean? I'm a man. I have kids. I have a wife. I pay bills, most of them on time. You know what I mean? It's just like, can I just be real? I'm a man. And I try to follow Jesus the best I can. And sometimes I don't real well. It is what it is. And if God has joined you to me, he's joined you to the mission. If this is your church, guess what? Too bad. This is what you got. I mean, this is... You just make it the best mission you can make it. That's what you got. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, but the pastor, blah, blah, blah. Quit gossiping. Quit being mad at God because he's telling you to do something you don't want to do. If you wake up on Sunday morning thinking about whether or not you're going to go to church, get saved. Come on, man. It's Sunday morning. Go to church. We say it all the time. If I can get out of bed and put on my pants, I'm going to be in church. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I know you don't know. That's a problem. We got an altar Sunday morning. Come visit it. Give your life to Christ and quit trying to make all the decisions for yourself. Good God. I'm sorry. I'm not really, though. I'm tired of seeing people's call get stolen because of their stubbornness, their laziness, their complaining, their lack of submission, their just whining, complaining spirit. Remember when the Israelites were going through the desert and they used to be slaves? They were slaves. People owned them. And they're in the desert and they're like, can't believe you took us up out of Egypt. At least we had leeks and onions in Egypt. They're complaining over onions. You want to be a slave with onions? Are you serious? You know, there's a story in the Bible where this man was going to inherit all his father's blessings. And he got hungry one day. He's like, I'm really hungry. Can I have a bowl of soup? And homie's like, oh, you got a blessing. I tell you what, I'll give you this bowl of soup for everything you're going to inherit. He's like, well, I ain't got nothing right now. Okay. I guess you don't get anything and I get soup. No, I get what you're going to get. And he lost his inheritance. So many Christians today are losing their inheritance for less than a bowl of soup. For one date. For one outfit. For one relationship. For one a reputation. For one, I don't want to. Oh, I didn't like what the pastor said about that. Yeah, I know. The Lord exposed the offense in your heart. Repent. Here's my life verse. It's in the New King James Version. It's in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, he says, in verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. You see, when I got saved, I really believe that I gave Jesus my life. And that was the end of the transaction. I gave him everything, and he said, guess what, you get to go to heaven. And that's enough for me. If I get nothing more than heaven out of Jesus, I still got the better end of the deal. But you know what? Since I gave him my life, I get a lot more right here. Paul says, look, I've done some wonderful things, but I'm not done yet because my whole life's goal is to get that thing, that reason that Jesus saved me. He saved me with a purpose. He saved me with a vision. And I press on my whole life to lay hold of that vision that he had for me and the whole reason he saved me. Jesus did not save you just so you can go to heaven. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a plan on the earth. He saved you to affect this kingdom. He saved you so you can spread the life of Jesus Christ throughout the earth. He saved you so you can affect generations. He saved you so he can expand his kingdom. And Paul's saying, look, I'm not going to give up until I lay hold of that thing why he saved me. Come on, somebody. Give praise to God that he saved you for a purpose. Verse 13, brethren, I don't count myself as to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I understand the people. My heart is heavy today. I hope you can hear that. I'm not oppressed. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. But my heart is heavy for what God wants to do in South Florida. My heart is heavy today about the plans and visions that Jesus has for Delray Beach and beyond. He's shown me the apostolic base he's establishing right here. And I see, what I see is the opportunities God has. And I see people with giftings that match up with the opportunity. But then I see people with giftings that match up to the opportunities with one eye on the opportunity and one eye on the world. And he don't go both ways. There's this false teaching out there that says, you know, I'm saved and that's all there is. Or once I'm washed in the blood, he doesn't even see my sin until I get over to the other side. In Revelation chapter 2, he says, Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, he says, I have this against you. Now, if Jesus is saying, I have something against you, guess what? He's judging you in his heart already if you're in sin. He sees your sin, and he's not excited about it. I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, hear this, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. We talk at the mission about stealing people's call all the time. We talk about God has a mantle for you and I'm going to get it. Remember when Elijah went up in the chariot and his mantle fell to the ground and Elisha went and picked it up? Remember that? There was 50 prophets on the other side of the river. It had taken a raging river to keep me from Elijah's mantle. You know what I'm saying? I'd have been like, it's on now. I'm boxing you out. I'm going for it. It's full MMA on that thing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about flying knee kicks. I'm going for the mantle. If there's only one, I'm getting it. I don't know. I mean, there's, I don't know, about 90, 100 of us in here. I'm getting the mantle. It's on. You know what I'm saying? So at the mission, there's people who want to fulfill calls. And they see people's calls and they're like, oh, I'm getting that. Apostle of the nations, huh? Oh, that's me. I'm on that one. Watch out. Watch your back. Nice mantle, dog. I like that. Watch your back. You know, I'm just. And so people say, that's not even biblical. That's not. You can't steal someone's mantle. No, I can't steal it, but you put it down, I'm picking it up. Jesus said right there, you don't take care of it. Guess what? I'm taking it away. You hear this. There's something God wants to do in South Florida, and I don't believe I was his original plan to do it. I really don't. I don't believe I'm, but I believe that I said yes. And I believe people had this mantle, and the Lord showed me, you know. People had this mantle, and they didn't say yes. And he came and took it. And I said yes, and he gave it to me. It's that simple. And you don't want to lose the call God has for you because you were created for it. If you're created for it, then we got to be like Paul and understand it's going to cost us something. Paul knew a little about paying the cost. I hear a lot of men calling themselves apostles today. I hear a lot of men calling themselves prophets today. I hear very few men boasting like Paul did, though. 2 Corinthians, Paul boasted like this. He says, I'm talking like a madman here. I've worked harder than everybody. I've far more, I don't know, what more college, you know, far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. Verse 24, 2 Corinthians 11. 5 times I received the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes, lest one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He ain't talking about smoking out. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. People give up their call because they don't want to live in a smaller house these days. How will I do that, Lord, and continue this lifestyle? You won't. Well, if it's God, he'll provide everything I need. No, he has, but he won't provide everything you want. Come on up, Serge. In James chapter 4, he says, look, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What's your life? for you're a mist that will appear for a little bit and then it vanishes. Let me get the worship team up. I'm here to tell you this. I'm going to obtain everything Jesus has for me. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to obtain everything Jesus has for me. I'm getting it all. I'm getting it all. And here we are, the day after the Day of Atonement in the Hebrew calendar. All things are made new. And Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Yes, He is our atoning sacrifice. But today I want to challenge you. Are there things that you need to lay down to follow Christ? You say, God understands my heart. And I say, yes, He understands that you're double-minded and that your heart is wicked. He understands. He absolutely understands. He understands the excuses you've made for not following Him. I say this in love. You know, I want to see everybody in here have a pure heart today. I want to see people walk in the freedom that comes with knowing Jesus. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and we're going to pray together. And I'm not going to do a close your eyes and lift your hand thing. You're just going to decide if today's the day. Today is going to be the first day after you're atoning, after you've been made one with God, not half with God, not a quarter with God, not three quarters with God. Is today the day you say, you know what, Lord? I understand the cost. And let me explain to you. The cost is not giving up sin. That's like the entry ticket. That's what just gets you in the game, okay? That's just, if that's where you're at, then you need to come forward and get saved. I mean that seriously. If you're like, I know the Lord has been convicting me of giving me this sin up. That's called salvation. And today could be your day to get saved. If you've rebelled against authority, if you've rebelled against giving God your honoring God with your finances, if you've rebelled against God in gossip and slander, you need to just ask Him to forgive you and get right with Jesus. If you're bound in sexual sin or you have some sort of addictive thing going on, or you just got sinful habits, just repent and get right with God. But on top of that, there's people that God has called you to more than what you're living right now. There's more that He's called you to. And I believe He's going to move today and He's going to give some vision. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Right now, Father, I just pray for those people who are here right now who don't have that relationship. They're bound in sin. And Lord, today, You're calling them to life. You're calling them to life. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would touch them. Right now, that You would touch them. Lord, that You would grant repentance, that You would allow them to seek forgiveness and the cleansing of sin. Father, we just love You. Lord, I pray that every false doctrine, that every lie of the devil would come off people right now. Reba, gondebeke. Right now, Jesus, that You would repent, you would reveal Your love, You would grant repentance, You would give salvation. But Father, for those who are right with You, and even those who aren't, Lord, I pray right now that You would begin to speak to their vision right now, that You would give that vision for life. Jesus, right now, that You would reveal callings, that Your anointing would move in.